I have just one more drink? How do I survive this long car trip with my coworker?
How do I lose to my son in one-on-one and make it convincing? Well, this is the place for you. This is How to Do That. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the How to Do That podcast, episode number 2. Ryan Glanzer here alongside my partner, Mr. Bart Christoph.
Hello.
And we are coming to you tonight from Hanover's 2.0 in North Austin, Texas for the second week in a row. What'd you think? Podcast number 1 in the books. We just kind of winged it. And I don't know. How did you think it went?
I think it was all right. I mean, you know, it was the first attempt, so.
We got some good feedback, I think.
Yeah.
People seemed to laugh. I mean, I myself listened to it in the gym while running on the elliptical the other day, and I was just, like, grinning ear to ear, like, looking off into space. I'm sure people wondering what I was doing, but specifically the part where you were talking about how to get uninvited from a party, and you mentioned, just say you have erectile dysfunction. And
well, you know, I figured that's a pretty good way to get out of it.
Yeah, I think that was the highlight for me.
But so when you went back to the gym and you listened to this, did you have to utilize any of the methods for inside the locker room afterward?
Man, I totally lucked out the last two times I've been there because, I timed it a little bit different. Getting there right around noon, I think, is the problem. You got to get there a good 20 minutes before or like 40 minutes after. Kind of let the crowd die down. I think that's what I learned.
Oh, see, and that's something that we didn't even discuss was the timing of that.
Yeah, I went on Friday last week, and I got there at 11:30. Nobody in there. And this last time I went really late on Monday at like 12:45. Again, nobody in there. So just avoid that really hot.
So there's just a naked old man window.
Yeah.
Between certain times of the day that you need to avoid.
Yeah, and that's not to say that there's no naked old men in there. In fact, there was, this is a hot time for some of the older ladies to go to the pool and just kind of do their wading back and forth exercise where they take up about two lanes just marching from one end of the pool to the other, which is equally annoying, but
yeah, but at least you don't have to go into the locker room with them and see them change afterwards.
Yeah. And that's really what we're going for. So one episode in the books and episode 2 today. Gonna direct you out towards the blog again. Boy, we've got a lot of new content up at howtodothat.co. How to Know and to Wash Your Jeans is the new one that went up last night. I thought that was going to be a really difficult one to write because initially I was like, well, they either look dirty or they smell dirty or I guess they could feel dirty. But then I started snowballing it and I came up with about 20 different reasons. Like, were you at a stripper? Were you at the strip club? A strip club, I mean. Were you at the strip club? Because something could have oozed onto your pants.
And, oh,
I mean,
my God.
Just saying, like, there's things that come to mind.
Well, I could see that because of glitter. That would be my first assumption, would be there's glitter all over your jeans. And you know, once glitter gets on something, it does not come off till you wash it. Like, period.
Yeah.
You ever get one of those cards at the, like, a Hallmark, and it's covered in glitter, and then you open it, and then it's all over your fingers, and then for the whole day, it ends up on your eye and your face and your fingers, and there's just glitter everywhere.
It's the worst, yeah.
Yeah, so that would be what I would think of. I wouldn't think of something oozing onto my jeans.
Well, that's what I meant, glitter oozing off of. Also, one that came to me this weekend, I was walking my dog, and he went poop in someone's yard, and I was like, oh, God, this is the second time he pooped on this walk. I'd already used up the one bag I brought along, so what do I do? How do I get out of a situation where the dog has pooped in someone's yard and I don't have a bag? How do I deal with it? So there's a lot of good information up there. And by the way, you know what I did?
What'd you do?
And I think this is a popular one. I mimicked picking it up with a fake bag, an imaginary bag. I like shook it and then I like bent down and like carefully pretended to pick it up and then like twisted it and tied it and then like held it out in my hand and dropped it into the stroller.
So I actually got caught once with this where I was downtown and I took the dog downstairs, went out to there's like this little area. And the Austin City, like, landscapers or whatever were out there. Yep. And dog pooped. And I'm like, oh, no, what do I do? There's no bag. So I just stood there and, like, was whistling and looking around, acting like I had no idea that the dog had pooped. And the truck pulled up and just waited. And just, like, we were in a standoff, basically. And then finally someone leaned out the truck, like, are you going to pick up your dog's poop? And I was like, I actually don't have a bag. Did the dog poop somewhere? And they were like, yeah, the dog pooped over here. And then they told me there was a bag right down the corner. They were like, oh, there's a bag down there. But I was pretty embarrassed.
Yeah,
they waited for me. The Austin City landscapers waited for me.
They're holding people accountable for their pets' actions. I think that's a smart thing.
Yeah, I mean, I felt pretty guilty, but I was just going to wait till they left, and then I was going to take off and be like,
yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay.
So yes, you should always have a bag.
Yeah. So you were going to just try to play it off like it never happened, and you got caught in the act.
Yeah, got caught in the act. I think they knew I was caught. I mean, like, even though I was like, what, my dog pooped? They knew I knew my dog pooped.
Yeah.
It was not a good fake.
It's really the dog's fault.
And then
for pooping?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I went down there with the purpose to take the dog out to poop, so should have probably checked the little bag thing on it, you know?
And then another one we put up this week, how to get a bartender's attention. This was brought up because somebody was like, I'm sick of standing at the bar. Nobody ever notices me. I'm standing there with my money up in the air. They walk right by. And so I quickly interviewed a bartender friend of mine, and he's like, oh, yeah, you don't want to hold up your money. That's so annoying. Just put it down. I know you're going to pay. So
what did he say?
Well, he said, a smile goes a long ways. A friendly little smile is way better than somebody looking annoyed and frustrated.
So what I've noticed is if you wear a nice watch and you put your hand on the bar with that watch,
yeah,
I seem to get more attention that way.
Oh, because they want a tip.
Yeah. I think they assume that you're probably going to tip them well because you have a nice watch on.
Sure. That makes sense.
My watch I actually got on Woot.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was like originally, it says it was originally $900 and then spent $40 on it or whatever.
Okay.
But it looked like it was worth $900.
And if it got you to the front of the bar line, then totally worth it.
Worked for years, but nice. Now that everybody's got the Apple Watch, it doesn't work anymore.
Ah, damn.
Yeah. So I guess that wouldn't be something that applies now.
Yeah, and the guy's also like, when it's really busy like that, I don't even look to see. You know, wherever I finish making the previous drink is where I start the next one. I'm like, I'm not looking. So sometimes there's some instances there's just nothing you can do. You just have to be in the right spot at the right time, I guess.
Well, I guess. There's got to be a way to get the bartender's attention, though. I mean,
yeah.
If you're female, you lean over the bar, right? If
yeah.
You're a guy, you pull your penis out.
Yeah, and that was one of the things. I'm like, have you ever seen anybody, like, get really frustrated and do anything? He's like, yeah, people expose themselves. I've seen it both ways. Usually female, but I've seen it both ways. It's like, I've seen guys come back behind the bar and just start making their own drinks. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right.
If you get that frustrated. I mean,
maybe your friend's a really crappy bartender. Yeah. He's just got a line all the time.
It does sound like it. This is just one guy's opinion. He might not even be a good bartender.
Nothing he said sounded positive to me.
No, not really. Except for the smiling part. He's like, hey, if you just have a friendly smile. I guess I get that. Okay.
All right.
Well, how to do that is brought to you by Table.Delivery. Coupon code SWEETUMS will get you $10 off your first order at checkout. This is a national food delivery company. They are catering to audiences all over the country. And I'm sure whatever market you're in, my good friend Luke over at Table.Delivery will take care of you. Again, $10 off your first order with coupon code SWEETUMS. And with that, that brings us to our first topic. And this is a kind of a three-part question. It was submitted to me by a former coworker, a boss, actually. And a big fan of the show, big fan of the blog. Tom, right here in Austin, had kind of a three-part question, like I said. He wants to know how to choose the fastest of each of these following things. A, the security line at the airport. B, a fast food drive-through lane. And C, the grocery line. Which grocery line would be the fastest? How do you know? I mean, we'll start with the security line at the airport. I'm assuming this is the part where you've already gone through the TSA guy and given him your ticket, and now you're standing there and there's like three different tables? Or do you think he's talking about checkpoints?
No, well, it depends, I guess. Some of the airports make you stay in a specific line if you're in, like, the agent you go through ends up having their own line. But sometimes you get through and then there's like four or five choices, which I think is most airports.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, have you seen the movie Up in the Air with George Clooney?
Yeah.
And he has some pretty good rules about this, but like you never follow anyone with a child or children.
Oh,
that's the worst, because you've always got bags of stuff for the kid, and then you've got like strollers or car seats or whatever the hell you're bringing through, because most of the time you can't check it because you need it to get them on the plane and off the plane and that kind of thing. So you never want to follow the kid. Plus, you don't know what they've got in their pockets and so on and so forth. It's also like following anyone who's, I would say, too or looks like they might have a hip replacement. I don't know how you would detect that from a distance. But you don't want to follow anyone who has to go through the extra screening process.
A light hobble, perhaps.
Yeah. If you see someone with a small limp, maybe don't follow them through.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you see for?
Boy, I had just the total opposite reaction. In the past, I have chosen the lane that has the child in it.
Really?
Because they all go through together. It's like you see a family of five people, and it's like, oh, there's five people in front of me. But guess what? Like, mom's going to push baby through right away, and then everybody kind of goes together. It's they're like,
the baby through and leave the baby on the other side.
In this instance, you treat five people as one in a matter of speaking.
I see, okay.
So that can be
I guess it depends on how much stuff they have with them. Yeah. If they're just holding kids and they have, like, two bags, it's probably fine. But if you see them with a stroller and all kinds of other stuff, I don't know. There's a lot of things that happen.
Yeah. And another thing I'll do is I'll try to choose a line where there's not angry-looking people. If you see, like, a businessman who's, like, tapping his foot and he's like, I need to get moving here, that's probably the line, just his luck, that's going to go the slowest.
So you're saying it based on superstition.
Yeah, kind of.
Because that would be the guy I'd normally want to follow, because that means he's probably going to rush things along, and he'll be my voice. I don't have to even, like, come out and say to somebody, like, move it along, because he'll do it.
True, but it could just backfire on him because he's the one who wants to get through the fastest, and therefore he's going to get through the slowest.
That's
just a possibility.
That's true. He could end up being the one that ends up getting arrested for causing a problem with other potential passengers.
Maybe he's trying to get through so fast he's forgotten to take a few things out of his briefcase. Now they're going to, sir, you need to take that laptop out.
That's true, too. So the other thing is, too, if you look at the TSA agents,
mm-hmm.
that are doing the scanning, that's where I always get held up, is there are ones that if the belt is constantly moving, you're good. But if that belt stops, and then you see the luggage move a little bit, and then it stops again, and then you see luggage move a little, and it stops again.
And that backs up.
Yeah, it backs up. That person is like triple, double checking everything, which means you're going to be there forever. If the conveyor belt is moving the whole time, that's the line you want to get in, because that's going to move. Even if there's 100 people with strollers, it's going to move faster because their stuff's on the other side and they just want to get through. They're like, my stuff's already over there. I need to get through this thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But if they're pulling bags off to check them all, you don't want to be in that line.
Now, I've got TSA pre-check, and usually, you know, we have our own little area. Do you have TSA pre-check?
I do.
So, yeah, for me, I'm just used
to... Can we get a TSA pre-check sponsorship opportunity?
Yeah, I'm sure Clear would be happy to sponsor us.
Yeah,
they're the other ones, right?
Well, Clear is so I've had Clear and it was good, but what it does is it bypasses the normal security line before you get to the actual like screening process, and then TSA pre is a limited screening process.
Okay.
So Clear works with TSA pre. Like if the TSA pre line is long, which seems to be happening nowadays because more and more people have TSA pre,
they're realizing what a bargain it is for $85.
Yeah. I think it should just be how everyone's checked, but that's a whole nother story. But if the line is long for TSA pre, you still get to bypass that whole TSA pre line and go straight to the conveyor belt. With Clear.
Okay. Nice. I did not know that.
So any representatives from Clear, if you want to reach out to us, we'd be happy to sponsor you.
Yeah. And I think we
or
get
wait,
that
sponsor us.
Founders Card, actually.
That's right. Yeah.
And so there's a plug for Founders Card. Go check it out.
Yeah. Yes. Use a coupon code podcast.
Sure.
And we'll set that up in the system.
There we go. The other one Tom was wondering is, say you're at one of these crazy McDonald's that actually has two individual lines that you can go through. Pull in and now it's like I can go in the left line or I can go in the right line. Or I think Chick-fil-A has it too. Or
I hate that.
Yeah. There's the people out
there. Well, have you ever been to Bush's Chicken here in Austin? They have like four or five lanes. And then you order, each one has like an order thing, and then you pull up your car and then like whoever's in the front, that's where you get your food or whatever. It's not one like drive-through. You have to pick a lane.
Oh.
It's really weird.
So, is that kind of the same thing as this, like, McDonald's conundrum, or?
Kind of. The McDonald's one's only two lanes.
Yeah.
The Bush's one's, like, five lanes. But you do the McDonald's one first. I want to hear your answer, because I know mine already.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If I pull into this one, I used to work over off of 290 in Tuscany Way in Austin, and there was one of those McDonald's there that I'd go through for breakfast pretty frequently. And it never fails. I would get there, and I'd be the first car behind that was in line behind a car at each checkout. Sorry, that was worded very poorly. There was someone at both lines, but I was the next car in line. I'm like, okay, it's up to me. I have a choice, lane A or lane B. And now there's suddenly somebody coming in behind me. It's like, I've got to make a decision right now. And you know what? You always pick it wrong. You always pick the wrong one. The guy who pulled in behind you is already like two spots ahead of you by the time you get your food. I would try really hard to see how many people were in each car. Try to look through the windows and be like, okay, I can spot this person is by themselves. Their order will probably be completed quickly, whereas this car has three people and they're probably placing a longer order. So if you can get behind the person with fewer people in it, that's great. Also, you can kind of hear. I mean, if you have any time at all to make the decision instead of just randomly pulling into a line, I mean, try to listen to their order, because some people are really particular. Like, now I don't want that to be touching anything else, and I'm going to need two ketchups. No, wait, three. Well, if you can hear anybody making an order like that, get in the other line. I mean, those are my ideas. And normally, I mean, we're talking about a fraction of a second where you have to choose one or the other. And this just isn't possible.
So mine's two things. If the car looks like I could ram it off the road, that's the line I pick. Because then if I need to ram it out of the way, I can.
Oh, okay.
You know, if it's an older car and I'm not worried about damaging it and more likely to damage my car.
Yeah.
That sounds very road ragey, but sometimes if you're in a hurry, it happens. But 90% of the time, I choose the outside lane just so I can leave if I need to.
Oh.
It's because he didn't specify here which fast food drive-through lane would you pick to get your food faster. Uh-huh. He just said, which one would you pick? I'd pick the outside, because if it was going so slow that I needed to leave, I'd just order and leave. And then the next person would get up there and they'd be like, oh, here's your 15 Big Macs and your 16 fries. And they'd be like, what are you talking about? And you'd be like, you were next in line, and I would already be gone.
Damn, that's a good idea. But here's the other thing. The other way of thinking about that, you always want to take the inside lane. That's shorter. You'll end up burning less gas.
But you're trapped.
I know.
You are trapped forever.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have had it happen before where I've been on that inside lane and the outside lane keeps moving and the inside lane's not moving at all. And I'm just like, did they forget about the inside lane? I don't understand what's happening. And then you're trapped. You can't go anywhere. What are you going to crash through their whole overhang?
And then the worst is sometimes the two cars finish at the same time and they're both pulling up where they have to merge together. And maybe one car is like being nice, like, oh, you go ahead. I'm like, no, that's going to ruin the order. Now you're going to get the order switched. What are you doing? Either that or it's somebody who's like trying to budge in front of me. I'm like, I clearly was finished ordering before you. I'm sorry that you got to this spot a half second before me, but now they're going to give you my order and you're going to have to tell them.
I'm the budger.
God damn it, you.
Stop it. or I would just walk inside. I like walking inside sometimes because it's faster.
Yeah.
So the next one is grocery line.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you, like, okay, because obviously we got to pick a choice. We can't say, oh, it'd be the one 15 or less, even if I have more than 15.
Yeah.
Or, well, okay, let's do that first. Would you pick self-checkout over the 15 or less, or would you do self-checkout?
Always self-checkout.
Always?
Always.
I always have problems with self-checkout.
Yeah, well, the worst, yeah, I agree. It's always like, I'm done scanning the last item, and then I have the bag sitting at the end, and I put that on the belt, and it's like, please scan the last item before setting it on the table.
I get that alarm.
That's the bag.
The alarm gets thrown on me so many times that the lady has to keep coming over. She might as well have just checked me out.
Yeah. I guess it depends on what I'm buying. Like, if I'm buying alcohol, then it makes more sense to go through the lane so that you don't have to wait to show your ID to the attendant at the self-checkout.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah, alcohol makes
a difference.
I guess
it really depends on what I'm buying.
Well, and with me, though, it's funny because even when I do one item through self-checkout, I set off the alarm like five times.
Mm.
Just one item.
What kind of alarm? Like you didn't pay for it?
No, is there that kind of alarm?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
No, actually, oh my gosh. I don't know if you've seen the new ones at Target. They have a camera on you with the video feed right in front of you that says, we're watching you. Have you seen that?
I did see it, yeah, just last weekend, yeah.
Oh, anyways, that kind of creeped me out. That was just a side note. But No, like the there's a little red light at the top that says, you know, when you're checking out, if something goes wrong, whether it's like you said, you put the bag on and then it's like, oh, you have too many items. You need to remove items from your bag. And you're like, it is the bag. Why are you telling me? I can't remove items from my the bag is what I just added.
And then it's a 10 to 15 second wait for it to correct itself. Ugh.
Well, and sometimes it doesn't. And that's when the little red light goes off at the top. Because it's like if you have to wait a certain amount of time, then the light starts spinning and then the lady comes over and goes, hey. I said lady, that's sexist. It could be a man or a lady. But the cashier comes over and says, hey, what happened? And you're like, well, I put the bag on the thing and it, you know, went off. And then they reset it and do their little pin code and all that.
It's the worst.
Oh, you know what else is the worst? I don't know if you've ever done this, is checking out fruit or vegetables through the self-checkout.
Oh,
in
no.
the bags?
No, I don't have time for PLU codes.
I was just going to say that. You got to look at the stupid code.
Hell no. No, then I go have the knowledgeable cashier who does this every day just enter the numbers and we're on our way.
So let's say you have a normal, just everyday grocery purchase.
Yeah.
And let's say all the lines are the same. It's not 15 or less or self-checkout. It's just all the lines are the same. What do you look for in the line that determines which lane's going to go faster? Like,
one of the things I'll notice a lot of the time is the size of the items. Because there could be a guy who has like 3 24 packs of Topo Chico sitting on the belt, and that's all he has, but it takes up the whole thing. And it looks like he's got a lot more things than he does. And really, it's 3 scans.
Right. No, they didn't even have to do 3 scans. They just scan the same thing.
Yeah. So sometimes I'll look at the size of the items. I don't know. The number of people in line isn't necessarily a great indicator because a lot of times it's a family, like 5 people can be together again, just like the airport thing. You have to look beyond the number of people. Look at number of carts. I don't know. Typically, like, we do all of our grocery shopping at Whole Foods Market because that's where my wife works. But I have shopped there so frequently now that I know all the cashiers and I'll just tend to get in a line of somebody I can make conversation with.
Well, so see, that's what I was going to say is because this doesn't say if it's faster.
No.
We're trying to do it faster. So for me, I actually look at the cashier and see if it'd be somebody that's kind of friendly to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, sometimes when I'm checking out, although if I'm buying something embarrassing, like, you know, butt cream or I don't buy butt cream often. But
I do.
Okay. Well, if you're buying that item, you know, or gosh, what's the one that Larry David had to buy on the Curb Your Enthusiasm when he was shopping for his wife? And they yelled it out in the store. I can't remember. But if I was buying anything embarrassing like that, I would look for someone who does not look like they're looking at all at the products that they're scanning. Like, they're just scanning. They're efficient. They're a machine. They're not looking and making conversation. They're just getting through it. Because if I'm buying something embarrassing like that, I don't want to converse about that.
Yeah, if you're buying laxatives, that's the last thing you want. You with your diarrhea pills, you just want them to...
Yeah. When I'm buying my, at Costco, the giant pack of Imodium AD, I don't want to tell them it's because I got the runs.
Yeah.
I just want to get through.
Agreed, yeah.
And if you got some friendly, you know, a lot of times it's usually like, it looks like it's like a girl in school or something, and she's up there like chatting with everybody, and she's like, oh... Man, you're buying a lot of Imodium. I don't want to talk about that with her. Plus, then the people behind you, they hear you. It's just embarrassing.
I intentionally brought it up one time when I was on vacation and had to buy a medication like that. I went up there like, well, guess I'm going to need some of this Imodium here. Yeah, put them on the spot so they don't have the opportunity to put you on the spot. Think about it that way. But if we're talking about fastest, another thing that just came to mind, make sure there's a bagger at the end. Because sometimes the cashier is doing all of it herself. She scans the items, and then she starts bagging.
You're right.
Or see if the people in line are doing the bagging themselves. You want to have somebody else doing the bagging other than cashier. I think that's going to move a little faster.
Well, I also don't pick a lane with anyone who's over the age of probably 70 because checkbook's coming out.
Yeah. Multiple forms of payment.
The check. I can't believe people still use checks.
Oh, yeah.
How do you use a check to pay for groceries? Really? And then they balance it in the checkbook while they're standing in line. Like, they pay for it with the check, and then they have to put it in their little checkbook notebook.
Some people are incapable of change. I don't know.
Ugh, it's just annoying. Come on, the computer keeps track of all this stuff.
Yeah.
You're not going to be missing out on 2 cents if you accidentally got a Plus, there's more human error involved in that, I think.
Oh, yeah. And I, you know, the other thing is, like I was just saying, I hate getting stuck behind somebody who looks like they have a really simple order, like some lettuce and some Kleenexes, and then they get up there and it's like, they want to spend, they want to
do you want $3. You just said lettuce and Kleenexes. I don't want to interrupt. I know I interrupt you a lot, but lettuce and Kleenexes.
Just off the top of my head.
So was it like they were checking out and they were trying to make a decision between which one would wipe their nose better?
Well, no, no. This is one of those deals where it's like, okay, I have $3 on this card to use and I have $1 left on this gift certificate. And then I want to pay for the rest in nickels. And it has to be a separate transaction or something. I always get stuck behind the multiple forms of transaction people.
That are buying Kleenex and lettuce.
Yeah. That reminds me of a joke I heard once. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
I'm very bad at remembering jokes, but this one I was told once and it stuck with me. A man walks into a grocery store and he grabs a cart and he gets a loaf of bread, a dozen eggs, a whole turkey, and some broccoli. And he goes to the checkout counter and he starts scanning the items. And the cashier goes, "Oh, you must be single." And the guy says, "Oh, how can you tell?" And she said, "Because you're ugly." That's the one joke I know.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Well, I guess that answers Tom's questions. Hopefully that's helpful for you, Tom, for your next trip to the airport, fast food place.
I would say your friend Tom, by the line of questioning here and the multiple options, that Tom is a very impatient individual.
Oh, yeah. Super. Super impatient.
Sorry, Tom. Maybe you should just go to a class on patience.
Good tip.
Yep.
All right. Well, that takes us to our first break. Actually, we're gonna go to a quick Candy Biz short here. This is a podcast that I was originally going to do before I thought of this idea. And then after I started trying to storyboard a whole hour podcast about candy, I got stuck after the intro song. But I did have the intro song made, and I liked the song so much that I decided we have to keep this segment in here. So this is a little short here of me and my wife and son all trying a new candy. We'll be right back.
Candy Biz, Candy Biz, no matter what your favorite candy is, everybody loves candy, there's no denying, time for Candy Biz. Time for Candy Biz with Lauren, Johnny, and Ryan.
Johnny, what do you think of this yummy Snickers bar?
It's yuck.
Yuck? Uh-oh.
Candy Biz, Candy Biz, no matter what your favorite candy is, everybody loves candy, there's no denying, time for Candy Biz. Time for Candy Biz with Lauren, Johnny, and Ryan.
Okay, welcome back. That was quite the Candy Biz segment, wasn't it?
Well, considering I couldn't hear it because I'm just sitting here at the bar drinking a beer with you.
Yeah, yes.
I'll listen to it when the podcast.
Okay. Well, thank you for the picture, by the way, Mr. Bart Kristoff. And this ties in right with last week's subject of how to get free drinks, because, man, you just covered that one, so.
Well, for you.
Oh, thank you.
I obviously didn't do it.
And I got a picture for the group while you were playing volleyball last week, so it all evened out.
Oh, I told you to put that on my tab.
No, I put it on mine. Oh. It was a gift for me to the team.
Thank you.
Well, I guess that takes us to topic two, how to appear qualified for a job when you really aren't. Say, like, how do you do a job interview when you really don't know anything about what you're interviewing for? Have you ever experienced this? Have you talked your way into a job that you didn't know about?
So I just yell loudly at the interviewer. What? You should hire me. Yes. Yes. Demanding, shake the hand. No, I'm kidding. I've never. No, you're not getting hired. People would think you're psychotic. I have, but I didn't talk my way into it. Do you want to know how I got it? It's kind of stupid. I went through the whole interview process. Thought I did okay. There was one guy that was pretty harsh in the interview process. The other guys were all real nice, and then this one guy came out, and he was just like, basically, you don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, man, I'm not going to get this job. So as I'm leaving, I said to everyone, because it was like later in the afternoon, I said, hey, does anyone in the office want to go grab happy hour? They're all looking at me like, who is this guy's a candidate, and now he wants to grab happy hour with us. And then one of the guys is like, oh, yeah, I'll go get some happy hour. And then all of a sudden, the whole office is coming, so we end up going to happy hour.
Nice.
And when I sat down at the table, the chief financial officer of the company is sitting right next to me. And I ordered a beer, the napkin came out, and I did the old trick from Hooters, which is you just take the salt, pour it on the napkin, and then that's me slamming my beer, but it doesn't stick to the napkin.
Of course.
And the CFO looked at me, and he goes, what the hell is that? And I said, so my beer doesn't stick to the napkin. And he goes, you're hired. So that was like more, it wasn't like a how to appear qualified. Well, I guess I appeared qualified for this job, yeah, apparently, by putting salt on a napkin.
Yeah, well, you're intuitive. You're showing showing that you're a problem solver. And that's what they're looking for. They want real
world
stuff.
And I'm showing that
stuff.
I was like okay with taking a random group of people to happy hour.
You can relate to a stranger or a friend alike.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly a good one. Yeah.
So what about you?
Well, my idea was I just have to take the conversation over myself. You know what? Forget their questions. Just start rambling. Not rambling necessarily, but you put yourself in the interviewer's shoes and turn them into the interviewee, which is hard to do, but I did it once.
I'll ask you an interview question then.
Okay.
Name a time that you displayed the quality of leadership in your role.
Oh, that's interesting. You should bring that up because I was just looking at your website here and I was looking at the about section and it seemed to me like your vice president of sales is actually a guy that I used to work with back in my first job, Jim Brantley. And funny story about Jim, we were at a trade show in Las Vegas and yada, yada, yada.
Oh,
you spin
okay.
It like that. I mean, suddenly, I don't know. I mean,
so you just kind of spin it.
I tend to spin questions a little bit.
That works. Yeah.
It worked that one time.
I've been in a... Okay, so I was... God. So I was actually interviewed by a major... We'll just say... I'm not going to say their name, but a major social media company here in Austin.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in the interview, and it was a Skype interview because I didn't live here in Austin at the time. And she had told me, hey, I've never done a Skype interview before, but it seems like you're a pretty qualified candidate, but I'm not positive, you know, and I want to get some more information from you. Well... So as this went on, I thought I'd make a joke at the beginning, and this is kind of like the opposite of what you're saying, is how to appear qualified.
Uh-huh.
I appeared the exact opposite of qualified, which was I said, well, what's funny about a Skype interview is you can only see my upper half, so I could not be wearing pants right now. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
She didn't think it was funny, and the first thing she did was, all right, let's get started. And then... What she proceeded to ask me questions that I should know the answers to, but she was so focused on the way that the social media company did it using acronyms that the social media company uses that don't get used by other companies that I would like say, oh, is that this? You know, I'd try to relate it to what it was outside of their company. And she was offended that I would even suggest another company does the same thing that they do.
Oh, man.
So that's the way not to appear qualified. So I think the best thing to do is maybe research a little bit about the company before you interview with them, because I knew the company because I use them it's a social media platform. We use it every day. Most people use it. A lot of people use it. But I didn't know the business side of it, and I probably should have researched it. So I would say if you want to appear qualified, because you had said yourself, even I would go to the About Us section of the site and look up and see if there's a vice president, whatever.
Yeah.
That's what you would do. You would have to research it to appear qualified. And then because the stuff that they write on their website comes from their vision and their, you know, all the stuff that they write. So if you use little snippets from that, I think you're going to appear more qualified than you actually are.
I think so, yeah.
Because they hear those and they go, oh man, he knows like our business. Like he knows what we do. In my case, I told him I wasn't wearing pants, and that was the end of that.
So simply mention that you are wearing pants or don't mention anything about pants.
Well, I should have stood up because I was wearing pants. I just said I could not be wearing pants, and she'd have no idea.
It sounded like it was going so badly that you should have just kept on with that whole gag. Like, hey, you guys want to see if I'm wearing pants or not? Just bombed the thing.
Well, so what's risky about it is I actually told that story to my next interview, and that was the company that brought me out here that I ended up doing the salt on the napkin and getting hired.
Mm. Wow.
I mentioned it, and they laughed so hard in that interview. They were like, that company sounds stingy. And I'm like, they shouldn't be stingy. It's a big social media platform. But, yeah, they thought it was so funny when I told them that story.
Yeah, I think something that along those lines that you were saying is use acronyms. Put them on the spot with made-up acronyms. Yeah, you know, our...
made-up acronyms. I like this.
Our K-tie was, like, through the roof last month because of my my improvisations and, you know, the work I was doing with the SWLs and the DTNs. It was just like our numbers just went from like A to Z. It was crazy.
That's a good point, because then you confuse them and then they're like, oh my God, this guy's smarter than I am.
Yeah, and they don't want to seem like you're... They don't want that to be brought up to their attention. Mm-hmm. Do they go along with it? Like, oh, interesting. And if the off chance that they even remember what fake acronym you just used, I guess you'd have to make something up on the spot of what it is.
But you could come up with like a really long acronym. Yeah. Like, you know, my WAQAXNs were amazing. And I mean, nobody would challenge that.
You're not
right?
familiar? Oh, wow. Well, maybe I'm not in the... maybe this isn't the right place for me then, if you guys are that far behind the time. You know what AWBSFM is.
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking at a few different places, and it sounds like you guys are a little bit behind here.
I think the only other tips I can come up with are just brimming confidence. Just absolutely, like, kick back in the chair, leg up somewhere. Maybe you loosen the tie a little bit. You're just brimming with confidence in everything you say, no matter how ridiculous.
Maybe even say to him, this chair isn't comfortable. Would you mind if I sit where you're sitting and you sit where I'm sitting?
Yeah.
That
sounds like this week's Curb, where Larry was at the psychiatrist. Maybe you didn't catch that one.
Oh, well, I haven't seen the new ones. Oh, don't tell me.
Oh, that kind of spoiled it. That was the whole episode.
Jeez. I think Bryan Cranston's the psychiatrist now, right?
Yeah, he was.
I've seen the previews. But,
okay. All right. Well, I guess I don't really have much else for this one, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's, like you said, confidence, made up acronyms, tell a good joke if you can do a good joke.
Jokes,
you know,
yeah.
Distraction. Like if there's a point where you don't know something,
mm-hmm.
you just feed it into a joke. Like, oh, so can you tell me a time that you blah, blah, blah? You could be like, hey, have you heard the joke about the, and then you go into that.
Yeah. I tell you, one of the best interviews I've ever been even kind of indirectly a part of was at my past job. There was a girl who came in from West Virginia to interview for this designer job. And I was sitting outside the interview room, and every 5 seconds, it was just, just rollicking laughter. And all of us who were sitting out in the marketing area was like, this interview is going really, really well. Like, she was just naturally funny, I guess. Just naturally charming or funny, and it had just everybody rolling in laughter.
Did she get hired?
She did.
Oh, okay.
I think she must have just been really funny.
Yeah, maybe that's
just really
the way to
delightful,
do it.
I think. Just a kind of.
Just have a pre-written comedy routine that you default to when you can't answer a question. Right? Like, you have it in front of you, because you're allowed to have your little resume thing in front of you. So you have that, but then you have like a little crib note sheet
mm-hmm.
that has your comedy set.
Yeah.
And then you just go into the comedy set when you can't answer something.
Sure. I like the idea of like really answering poorly. Like, Mr. Kristoff, what would you say is your biggest weakness? And you're like, well, I'm a horrible worker, very uninspired, lazy. I tend to leave early. No, just kidding,
Yeah, that's great. That's exactly, yeah, you tell them all the actual things that you're bad at,
and then
you just go, duh, just messing with you.
Yeah.
And then you just, that's the other thing you can do, which a lot of people do is, well, what's your big, well, I think my biggest weaknesses are also my biggest assets.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, oh, I work too hard, right? Those are the things that people use as, like, my weaknesses, I work too hard.
Yeah. My family's so annoyed. All I do from the time I get home at night to the time I go to bed is just on my computer, just working away. And my family life's taking a real hit.
Well, that sounds depressing.
Yeah, they're like, maybe this isn't right for me. But I say the one last thing I can mention is, man, if you can bring it to, if you find out that the person interviewing you and you grew up in the same area of the country, the same state, or can even come up with a person that you maybe mutually know, that would go a long ways for me. We have an intern who just started at my job who I found out had lived in South Dakota for a while. And if I was in charge of hiring him, I would have hired him because of
the rapport
we enjoyed. With like, oh, yeah, I know where that's at. Yeah, that's just north of Mitchell. Yeah.
So I know this kind of happened in the office once, but you remember the company I used to work for back in Ohio?
I do, yeah.
The owner of that company didn't – and this happened in the show The Office similar. I don't know if you'll remember it or not, but this actually happened in real life where I was – part of the interview, because at the time I was in charge of sales and marketing, and he had me come into this interview for this woman, and he said, well, you know, where are you from? And she said, I'm from Vietnam. I'm Vietnamese. And he goes, oh. And he said, I was over in Vietnam for a while. Did you know your father? And it was kind of like he was alluding to the fact that he might be her father.
Oh, God.
Because you remember the owner of the last company I worked
yeah,
for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've heard the story. That's
it,
right.
It was the most... It was very embarrassing. Plus, I'm pretty sure you can't do that in an...
No.
Like, that sounds very bad to say anything like that.
He's very lucky that there wasn't a call from a lawyer after that.
Yeah. And he did try to hire her, but then she refused the job. But he almost hired her just because he may have been her father, is what I think he thought in his mind.
Wow.
But that happened in the in one of the episodes of The Office. I don't know if you remember that.
Vaguely. I remember your story of it happening for real better than the Office version.
Right? Yeah.
Well, that brings us to our next sponsor, 188 Street Creations of Carpenter, South Dakota. Go ahead and enter podcast when you talk to Marcy or Jordan to place your order for a state outline creation, and you'll receive 20% off your order. Amazing deal. Amazing craftsmanship. 188 Street Creations. You can find them on Facebook. Well, Mr. Kristoff, I'd like to turn it over to you. What would you like to talk about for our third and final major topic of the show?
I think, you know, along the lines, we started with the lines and things at the airport. I think we should finish with an airplane one. This could be like a kind of travel, sort of travel one.
Sure.
Because you travel for work for interviews. There's an interview question here, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get on the plane, and typically, I don't know if you fly any of the major airlines, but there's one major airline in particular that you fly and you get to pick your own seat. It goes in an order. Actually, there's a couple, I think, that do that now. But how do you avoid sitting next to someone on that flight? Like, you know that people do this all the time where they try to keep that middle seat open so that they don't have to sit directly next to someone because they either want to sit on the aisle or the window seat. How do you avoid keeping someone sitting next to you? So what would you do?
Well, again, you know, I think I used this excuse last time for one of the rapid fire questions, but for me, it's, you know, my 3-year-old. I mean, if I get on the plane with my boy and say I'm sitting in the aisle and I put him in the middle seat, I mean, who in their right mind is going to take that window seat, especially if he's acting up? You know, if I tell him, hey, buddy, do you want to watch Paw Patrol on my phone? Yeah. And then I say, oh, sorry. And freak out. I'm like, okay, good. This is good. Keep it up, Johnny.
Or you just say, Santa Claus isn't real. And then Johnny starts crying.
Yeah. Or how high do you think you can jump on this seat? Do you think you can jump up and touch
that's good. Hey, Johnny, can you push the buttons on top of the seat?
I mean, I'm pretty sure people would avoid that seat until the very end.
I think that's a good one for sure.
If I'm traveling with a child, but you might not be.
Yeah, so what if you weren't traveling? What would you do if you weren't traveling with a child?
Well, this isn't my idea, mind you. I heard this from a former coworker, a colleague of mine. He said what he does is he will try to be, you know, if he's one of the first people on, he'll try to sit in a non-exit row between rows 10 and 14 on Southwest, and he'll look for someone who looks like they could be a terrorist and leave a seat between him and that person, and then kind of just put his backpack in between the two of them.
That's kind of racial profiling,
I
think.
It is. It's terrible, yeah. But I'm not going to mention names, but apparently this person, this individual, she's had it work for her many times.
Wow.
She looks like somebody who looks like they could be thinking about blowing up the plane. And then she puts her own backpack in between her and that man, and then nobody dares question.
Well, I think that's wrong on a lot of levels, but
me too, for the record. Yes, yes.
For me, I think what I would do is either I would smell very bad, or I would sit next to someone I know smells very bad. not next to, obviously, they'd be at the window, and I'd be, because here's the thing. A lot of people don't realize on a plane, I've sat next to a lot of smelly people, and there are smelly people everywhere. And on a plane, you're right next to them, so you have to smell them. Like, that's just how it goes. And unfortunately, there's people with body odor. People poop themselves. I don't know what happens in these situations.
Just sweaty in general.
Sweaty in general. Deodorant. Not wearing deodorant. Don't believe in deodorant.
Too much perfume.
Yeah, they ate some kind of disgusting food, and it's coming out both ends. Any of those reasons, all you have to do as a because you're like, oh, well, I don't want to sit next to that person either. But if you get a clear seat in between you got a little bit of space, plus you take that little vent above your head and you point it down directly over your face and you turn it on high, and it creates like a windshield in front of your face of air, and you don't smell them.
Okay. Good, good. Hopefully the person who's thinking of sitting beside you wouldn't be able to, or, you know, wouldn't sit down, get comfortable, and then notice the smell. Because would they have the guts to get up at that point?
Well, that's true. So you'd probably want to maybe save that situation for when you're at the window and that person's in the aisle. Yeah. And then they don't want to come in to the row. The other thing you can do is, which, I mean, I kind of do all the time, is, hey, my wife's coming on the plane. And that's when my wife's actually coming on the plane and I'm saving a seat. But you could do it even if you don't have a wife. You could just be like, my wife's sitting there. And then wait until every person has boarded that plane. Mm-hmm. And if at that point they're like, hey, there's just no seats available, they're going to have to sit there. Okay, fine. But if not, you say, my wife. And most people aren't going to sit in that seat. Because
yeah,
they feel bad. They're like, oh, I'm taking this guy's wife's seat.
I think likewise, you could probably just travel with like a little girl's Barbie backpack, like a 4-year-old backpack, and just sit it there and like, it's my daughter. She's coming. Honey, where are you?
Well, what? So the thing with that is somebody like goes, dude, where did you leave your kid that you're on this plane by yourself without the kid?
That's true.
Or, you know, actually the reverse effect, I think, on this is if you had a Barbie backpack, and we all know your name's Ryan, and you had a sticker on it in big letters that said Ryan, and you sat it on that seat next to you, I don't think anyone's sitting next to you. You would be the creepiest guy on that plane if you
Very
had a
true.
Barbie backpack with your name on it. And, oh, you should even wear a name tag with your name on it next to the Barbie backpack. Then they look, they go, Ryan, this guy is a homicidal maniac.
Right.
And when people try to come, like, if people are walking down the aisle, every person that walks by you could be like, can I have your name? You could just say that to everyone. Can I have your name?
I'm keeping a list. I'm going to memorize everybody's name on this whole flight.
You know what's funny is, if you did it in that voice to everyone coming on that plane, no one would ever sit next to you.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think that might be a good answer. Of course, you have to kind of ride on that plane then, you know, keeping up that moniker for the whole thing.
How would you keep that up?
I mean, I guess once nobody's sitting by you and you're in the air, you can drop it. But if somebody broached you for like, hey, is that seat taken? Only by you, sweetheart.
You know, why did it change to that? Before it was more like a little kid with a backpack.
Oh, I don't know.
now you're turning into...
I wasn't keeping track of the voices, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it was...
But, hey, let me ask you this. If you got on a plane and you saw somebody who was just sloppy drunk, like you could see their eyes were red and you could smell on their breath, would you sit next to them?
Hmm.
Like really drunk. Like,
would I sit directly next to them?
Yeah.
No.
If that was the
I would try to avoid that because what if they puke on you?
Yeah, so there you
go.
Just get drunk. You benefit because you're going to fly drunk.
You just reminded me of something. My dad actually did this. On a flight years ago, he took the barf bag out. He had pea soup. Now, this was probably before TSA because I don't know how you'd get pea soup on the plane. Well, I guess you can
buy it
in
the airport.
He took pea soup and he poured it into the barf bag. He asked for a spoon from the stewardess and he ate it out of the barf bag.
Oh, my God.
So nobody wanted to sit by him.
Naturally, yeah.
Because he acted like he puked into the bag. He was like,
that's elaborate, but.
And then he took the spoon and started eating it out of the bag.
Jesus.
And pea soup looks pretty. I mean, who the hell wants? I don't know why he had a can of pea soup. It's disgusting by itself.
Denty Moore pea soup.
But yeah, I remember that story now.
So, yes. So, sitting by
it
somebody.
Applies today.
Sitting by someone eating a bag of vomit.
Yes.
Not happening.
Yeah, you put some chili in there or. I mean, what could be worse than that? Chili's got to be pretty bad coming out of a barf bag eating it.
Yeah, I would say any canned fish would be terrible. That's very disgusting to me.
Oh, right. That's the other thing. Eating something absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. What really stinks up a
like
place?
A tuna salad fish sandwich with extra tuna salad fish.
And it's like mayo squirting out the sides and stuff. Like,
oh, my God.
That's really gross. Yeah, I would not sit next to somebody like that.
Have
Especially
it dripping it, all over you?
Yeah, wiping it on your chest.
No napkin. I don't have a napkin.
You're bending over trying to get a napkin, and it's kind of dropping on the floor. And,
you could do it in your kid voice. You could be like, they didn't give me a napkin. And you could be eating it and just slop everywhere and have your Barbie backpack.
I would hope I have a quick change of clothes for when I land at that point. get that smell off.
Well, that could be one of the topics we talked about that you had on your site, how to know when to wash your jeans.
Sure.
After a flight, eating a tuna fish salad sandwich.
Yes, very specific.
All right.
And I guess that brings us to the end of topic three, and that, I guess it's time now for the rapid fire Facebook mailbag. I went ahead on Facebook on the How to Do That page, and I polled our fans, of which there are about 100 now. Thank you, fans.
Oh, and by the way, we would love to hear your answers to these topics from our podcast on our Facebook page.
Absolutely.
If you guys have answers to any of these that you're like just itching to tell, you were listening to this and you went, oh my gosh, why haven't they discussed this topic?
The most obvious answer, they missed
it. Right, the most obvious, then put it up there, because we are all trying to learn how to live life better as human adults.
In this crazy world that we live in.
So yes, please post them. But yes, let's go to rapid fire.
Okay, Steven from Cedar Park says, how do you avoid the creepy neighbor that's always up in your business?
Well, I got a question about that.
Yeah.
What does up in your business mean?
I imagining like I'm pulling into my driveway, like I've got groceries, trying to get the kid out of the van, and a neighbor just kind of comes and sidles up and like leans on the hood and starts talking. I'm thinking that kind of guy.
So not up in your business.
Oh no.
Okay.
Not like penetrating you or anything.
Oh my god. Okay. Well, I didn't mean that exactly.
Oh.
All right. Yes. Okay. So you have the creepy neighbor always there when you get home, always talking to you. What would you do?
I mean, the phone is a popular one. I think I've had that used on me a couple of times by a different neighbor.
Oh, yeah, like you come out of the car with the phone in your ear.
Yeah, you're on the phone and you just give a quick nod and then like continue the conversation.
Wait,
no one.
You just told me you had a neighbor do that to you?
I think that a neighbor did that to me once.
Are
sure.
you the reason that this question was asked?
I don't think so. I don't think I was an annoying neighbor, but I was trying to like come over and talk to this individual when it was just very convenient. Like three straight times they happened to be on the phone. And I was like, "This something's up here. They don't want to talk to me."
Well,
so I think that's my go-to. You?
I would say to avoid, I would probably just let out the loudest fart I could let out and, you know, just go, oh, God, I am so sorry. I did not feel well. I need to get inside and then run inside.
Yeah, okay. I love it. If you can produce one on the spot.
I think I could.
Yeah.
It might not make it out without a mess, but I could probably produce one.
I mean, likewise, you could probably just cough up a storm.
Oh, that's true. You could say you're very, very sick.
Yeah.
I'm super sick. I'm coughing. Yeah. And the other thing you could do is pull into the creepy neighbor's driveway, park your car there,
yeah,
and then walk home.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Or just keep driving.
So then they're already in your driveway, and then they get home and they go, why is this guy in my driveway?
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
All right. What's next?
How do you tell someone that they're freakishly tall or short?
And this is also from the same Steven. I don't think you
Do you think the Steven guy has a creepy tall or short neighbor?
Yeah, apparently.
So I mean, how do you tell someone that they are freakishly tall or short? What would you say?
I mean, people come up to me all the time. Like, at least once a week I hear, oh my God, you are so tall. I didn't realize how tall you were. I mean, people just...
You are freakishly tall.
Yeah, and if you need to tell me that, if you feel the need, if you're so taken aback that you feel you need to announce that to me as if I don't already know, then I hope you at least show some serious, sincere astonishment. Like, oh my God.
See, I think I would, for a tall person, I'd say, you remind me of a Slim Jim. Have you ever seen the commercial of the Slim Jim man?
No.
You haven't? Snap into a Slim Jim?
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Step into a Slim Jim.
Yeah, that guy's always super tall.
Oh.
And then for short, I'd say, have you ever seen Star Wars? You look like one of the Ewoks.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I would do it in a funny way. I don't think I'd do it in a, gosh, you're freakishly tall. I wouldn't just come out and say it.
Oh my God, are you Manute Bol's brother?
Who?
Manute Bol, the 7'10" NBA star of the 90s.
Oh, I don't remember that.
No. Nate from Arlington, Minnesota asks, how do you put up with someone who thinks Big Bang Theory is a good TV show? Oh, man. That's right in my alley. Because I can't honestly say I've sat through a whole episode, but I don't think I'd like it. And me and my wife tend to always flip the channel when we see it because we're kind of annoyed by that main actor. What's his name? Sheldon.
Yeah. Do you watch SpongeBob?
I've only seen a couple.
I like SpongeBob, but it's very mind-numbing, and I think this show's kind of like that, too. It's like, you just sit back and watch it, and you can't really enjoy it, but how do you put up with someone? So I'm assuming that this Nate person gets asked a lot about it, or has to talk?
Yeah. This like, is the same guy who had the Republican parents he's trying to avoid.
Oh, okay, so...
His parents are Republican, and they love Big Bang Theory. How do you avoid... how do you tolerate this person?
So basically, this person is very negative about... most things. Not very tolerant.
No.
How do I put up with someone who thinks Big Bang Theory is a good TV show? So for me, if it's any TV show, let's just say it's whatever, Big Bang Theory, but I know I get a lot of people who tell me, like, How I Met Your Mother is the best TV show. And I've never actually seen an episode, but I also have a lot of people that tell me it's very annoying. And so I have this stigma about it now that I just don't want to watch it, and I refuse to watch it because... I don't know if it's good or bad, and it kind of makes me angry to hear people talk about it all the time.
Uh-huh.
So to avoid people for that particular show, I usually just tell them that I will never watch it, I don't want to watch it, and just leave me alone about the TV show and let's talk about something good.
Okay. So you're just very direct, like, hey.
Yes.
Here's how it is. You know, I hate to say this too much because I think a lot of my immediate family really likes The Big Bang Theory. But, you know, if they really like it and they want to tell me about a funny part of the show or something, I'll listen to it. I think my mom was telling me about an episode she saw that she was just rolling on the floor laughing. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's funny. But here's a show I like better. And I'll try to switch it to...
so you try to change like, the topic here, we can, of well,
maybe. I'm trying to recommend a better show, which... I mean, off the top of my head, what are we watching now? Curb, Last Week Tonight, Game of Thrones.
Everything on HBO.
Everything on HBO. CBS sitcoms, no, I'll pass. Thank
so the you. Way you could, because you say, how do you put up? You could just say, you guys need a subscription to HBO.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, honestly, most TV shows on regular TV kind of suck.
On broadcast TV? Yeah, I don't...
Like, Netflix has good shows. HBO has good shows, broadcast TV. A lot NBC of it kind of sucks. Yeah. Well, in the 90s.
In the 2000s, NBC was pretty solid with their Thursday night lineup at The Office and 30 Rock and Earl and all that. And Scrubs, and that's been a while ago now. All right, next one. Eric from Brookings, South Dakota says, how do you get out of paying for your round at the bar?
Well, I thought we went through that.
We pretty much did. He must not have heard the first episode, but...
I think the one that you came up with was the best solution for how to get out of your round. You wait, you have number, I'll get the next round. Person number one goes, person number two goes, person number three goes, and then you just leave.
Yeah, I like it. That's my method.
I think that's a good, I don't know how to answer that any better than that, I think.
Either that or you just do it via bet. You just start making wagers, like, hey, I'll bet you Dallas scores right here. And then make the person buy the round because you're right.
What about the time we did the darts? Do you remember the darts?
Oh, the dart story. This is a whole episode in itself. But yes, please tell.
Oh, yeah. This is a good one for this, I think. It's kind of raunchy, but yeah.
It's good for podcast.
Yeah. So we were at a bar. We were sitting there just hanging out playing darts. I guess that's what you say, playing darts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Throwing darts.
Throwing darts. And we're not good. No. We were just screwing around, drinking beers, having fun, throwing the darts. Took the bar darts and threw them.
Mm-hmm.
And as that happened, we had these two gentlemen come into the bar and approach us. And they said, hey, do you want to play us in a round of darts? And we said, no, we're good. We're just kind of hanging out, doing our own thing. We're not really that good at darts or anything. And they're like, come on. Don't be pussies. Play us in a round of darts. Well, I don't know if they said play, because all this sounds not right to me. It's not play us in a round of darts, is it?
We challenge you to a game of darts.
A duel!
Yeah,
I don't know. Whatever he said. And we're sitting there like, all right, I mean, I don't really want to play, so can we just like hang out by ourselves? Or you guys, and they're like, no, come on, man, stop being pussies. Like, play us in darts.
And anybody who comes into a bar and insists that you play darts with them obviously must be really,
really
good.
Really good, yeah. And so they just wanted to make fools of us, obviously.
Yeah, make a few bucks on a bet of some sort.
So what we did was, well, what I did, I said, whatever, man. If you want to play a round of darts, we'll play. And he goes, all right, we're betting. What are the stakes? And I'm like, all right, no, we're not playing. I'm not playing for stakes. What is this? And he goes, no, come on, man. Don't be pussy. He said it like 15 times.
He did, don't be pussy.
Yeah. Play us. And we're like, all right. And then he starts pulling out darts that he brought.
From his pocket, he lifts open his jacket pocket, and there's a felt pouch.
Yeah, he had
a
felt pouch.
And he starts screwing the tips on the metal darts. And we're like, oh, God.
And he had like a finger guard.
Yeah, he had a glove.
It puts that on. Then he's powdering his fingers.
Yeah.
Like, he was dead serious about this. And we're both like, what? So I said, no, man, like, we're good. We don't want to play for state. We'll play for fun. If you want to play for fun, let's play for fun. And he goes, no, man, you can't play around the darts without playing for stakes. Don't be pussies. Pick something.
And then you delivered a brilliant line. What did you say?
Well, I won't say. I'll say the PG version.
Sure.
Which was, fine, loser has to suck
the
other team's privates. And he goes, he just like went dead silent. It was probably the biggest guy I've ever seen, too.
And these guys' jaws literally dropped. They're like,
yeah, because that's not a win for anyone, which is why I said it.
Where is this going to go down anyway? We're going to go into the back alley? Like, where?
And we were at a bar downtown. Like, where is this going to... So, well, first of all, why do you even think about where this... Because it wasn't going to happen. I don't want this to happen.
It's going through their heads, yeah.
Yeah, so they're both like, what is wrong with these guys that they say this? And then I go, oh, I'm just kidding, man. We'll play for shots. How about shots? And he's like, all right. And he was all freaked out because at first he goes, oh, you guys can just play your game. And I'm like, no, we'll play for shots. I'm just messing around. But when I told him... loser has to suck the other team's privates. He was not looking forward to that. But he was so insistent on playing that I was pissed. And I just didn't want to play him. But then
we
dominated.
To destroy these guys.
Destroy. I mean,
I've
it wasn't even a
better game of darts
no,
in my life.
No, it wasn't even a competition.
I hit my first two shots, both hit on the triple 20, which is 60 points each. And then my third one hit the bullseye.
And
like,
I think you and I were just hysterically laughing.
And this guy just looks at us like, oh my God, we went from the hustlers to the hustlees.
Yeah. And we were just hysterically laughing, drinking our beers, bunch of idiots in the bar, and they're crying. Because they came in like Matrix coats.
Yeah.
You remember that? They were like
trench
coats.
Trench coats, yeah.
Yeah, so they went home very sad.
And they had to buy us a shot. Which is how we got our free round of drinks.
I don't know if you remember at the end, after we finished, I said, all right, looks like you guys are going to have to suck our privates. And he goes, no, I thought we'd bet shots. And I'm like, yeah, shots. I'm just kidding, man.
And then to top it all off, the Bare Naked Ladies walked in and we met them. Mm-hmm. That was a true story.
Yep. But
we had just been at a Bare Naked Ladies concert.
Yeah, sorry to take so long on the...
no, it's good.
I had to tell that story because of the paying for the round.
Thank God it came up.
Next one.
Kyle from Burnsville, Minnesota has three questions. We'll rapid fire through these like we were going to plan to do. How do you tell your neighbors that their wind chimes are annoying and obnoxious? I would probably just put a rubber band around the chimes so they stopped hitting each other when they weren't looking.
I guess that's a way to tell. Do you leave a note in the rubber band?
No, I just put the band on
there. You just put the band on
there? I don't want to draw any attention.
Hmm.
What do? You tell them?
I think I'd just, cut all the wind chimes off.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would just be a hanging, like, plastic piece with no wind chimes.
Yeah.
That's how I'd tell. And then maybe I could leave a ransom note, like, the cutout letters from a newspaper, because I usually have a bunch of those in a drawer somewhere. And you just stick them on the paper and you say, if you're looking for the tubes that make sound... you can find them and then have a whole elaborate thing going on.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I just got an idea. I could say, if it was in Texas here, I could go up to a person and be like, hey, you know, I love the wind chime and everything, but I'm from South Dakota and, you know, us Dakota people find that offensive. It's to our heritage. You know, the Lakota Indian tribe and everything like that. They might be, oh, gosh, Mr. Glenn, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. Like, yeah, if you wouldn't mind, it would really mean a lot.
The other thing you could do, Kyle, is Just get a pair of noise-canceling headphones.
There's that.
And just walk around with them 24 hours a day.
I think you'd get used to it after a while, just the, either the headphones or the wind chimes.
I might miss it after a while, because you would think after like having it ingrained in your brain for so long that once they went away, you would still hear them. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you just hear them even though they weren't actually there.
I know,
Next one.
Yeah, he says, how do you entertain yourself while you were brushing your teeth? I don't. I mean, I usually just look at my teeth in the mirror and kind of...
You look at your teeth in the mirror?
Well, face. I kind of tend to be in the mirror when that's going on. And using that opportunity to examine, like, hey, maybe I could shave over here later. What about you? Do you entertain yourself while brushing your teeth?
I mean, I sometimes hum a song.
Oh.
You know, like I'll... And I... So I use one of those sonic toothbrush type deals. And it kind of makes a vibrating noise. And sometimes there will be a song that just, for some reason, comes into my head while I'm using it. And I'll just hum that song with it. But in general, I don't know that I need to entertain my... It's not only like 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's less
I don't
than
have
minute.
ADD or anything, so I'm not sure. Yeah. Well, I think everybody has ADD, but I guess I don't need to be entertained while I'm brushing my teeth. I'm okay.
Nor, nor I. So, Kyle, I guess if I were you, I would probably just take, you know, Bart Kristoff's advice and use that opportunity to brush up on some humming.
Well, let me ask you something. When you go to bed, before you go to bed, do you ever take a dump?
Rarely. No, no.
Oh. I was going to say, you could kill two birds with one stone.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really entertaining yourself, but you could poop while brushing.
I know some people who would find that entertaining.
Pooping while brushing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's another way, I guess.
Kyle's last question. How can you remember that one restaurant you saw and said, I need to check that out, when it actually comes time to picking a place to eat?
Ooh.
I mean,
word association.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if it's like...
Denny's.
Denny's. Why would Denny's be the
That's
first?
That's where Kyle wants to check out.
Man, Denny's, you guys want to be a sponsor? We all. What do they have? The Grand Slam?
Grand Slam
breakfast?
Loons over my hammy.
Oh my gosh. How can you remember it? And I need to check that out. So something we did at our old work was we actually kept an Excel spreadsheet of every place that we wanted to visit. So we would go on Yelp, we'd like look up places we wanted to visit, and then we would put them in an Excel spreadsheet. And then before we went to lunch, we would use the randomizer in Excel to pick the restaurant.
Oh, nice. And you absolutely went with whatever came up first?
Like if everybody was against it, like if we would do it, there was three of us that went to lunch all the time. And if all three of us were like, yeah, I'm not in the mood for, you know, the African, Ethiopian, you know, cuisine today because I have a meeting this afternoon and I don't want to be exploding everywhere afterwards, then yes, we would avoid that place. But in general, we between like three spins, I call it spins, but three randoms, we would pick one of the three.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we used to do that at the office too. We had a whiteboard where we kept an official ranking of every barbecue place, every burger place, every pizza place, maybe every taco place. It was for sure barbecue and burgers, I know that. And there was a lot, but I mean, this over the course of 5 years, it had gotten really long. And we generally just pick something off that list. But that's a workplace thing. I don't know if, I guess I would probably just make a little note to myself on my phone. I'd just open a Gmail and just start a draft and then save it and hope I come back to it.
Or take a picture of it with your phone.
Yeah.
It takes like 2 seconds.
Sure.
And with the phones now, with the pictures, they have the map built in. You know what I'm talking about? So you take the picture and then it shows you exactly where you took the picture.
Yeah.
So you can go right back to it.
That seems like the winner there. If you can remember to do that, Kyle, I would totally suggest
Who
that.
Doesn't have their phone on them? Oh, get the Snapchat glasses. Have you seen those things?
No.
You hit a button on the side and it records like 10 seconds. So you wouldn't even have to pull out your phone. You just get the glasses on, you hit the little button, records 10 seconds on Snapchat, and boom.
Wi-Fi enabled glasses?
Yeah, so you gotta buy like, I don't know, they're $200 or something. So go online and buy the Snapchat glasses and you'll never forget a restaurant again.
Okay. I guess we got two left. These are from, this is my father-in-law here from Minnesota. He wonders, how do you loosen or tighten a bolt or screw, a.k.a. what is lefty loosey and righty tighty? Boy, this is on the verge of too technical for the topics that we cover on the show, Steve. But
is he asking because there's a difference between a bolt and a screw?
How do you loosen or tighten? I guess he's just asking about whether it needs to be loosened or tightened, not necessarily a difference between a bolt or a screw.
Well, no, it says how do you loosen or tighten a bolt or a screw? To me, I would use lefty loosey, righty tighty, but I'm He's saying, what is?
I'm not completely sure I'm following, but I would think that... I'm assuming he's in a situation where the screw is jammed and it won't move. In which case, I guess it has to be lefty-loosey, right?
Well, I would just go backward a little bit and then go forward more.
Yeah.
And use every bit of strength I have in my little body to move it forward.
So if it won't come out and you're trying to turn it, you're going to try the back and forth method?
Yeah, wiggling back and forth. Okay. Because you think, you know what I would do? What? I know right now. I would go back like a whole turn, and then I would do a rapid turn the other direction to try and like crack past it.
Yeah. I guess in my bathtub, I was trying to get a screw out of a faucet once and it would not budge. And I had to buy some like special little tip that went onto the screwdriver that actually drilled a new hole into this.
Oh, I have one of those. Yeah.
And then even then it was really hard, but I was able to like rip the screw at that point and get it out. But it was like a whole day project.
I would just hire a plumber.
Yeah. That I would have gladly spent $100 over that.
When he says, how do you loosen it? I would say hire a handyman.
Yep. And last question in rapid fire. What is the difference between now and right now? As in, do this now or do this right now?
Ooh. Well, what do you think?
I think right now is way more urgent. I think right now is drop literally everything that you're doing. This is a life and death situation. Whereas, do this now. It's like, okay, I'll set down my drink. I'll go get my shoes on. Then I'll do it. Right?
I see zero distinction. I would say now and right now are the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because now is about as urgent as it gets. So right now, to me, is like, not any more urgent than now.
As soon as you're done saying right now is over.
That is
like,
true.
Right now.
Now is actually faster.
Yeah. Because right now is a very specific point in time which ends when you finish saying the word now.
I would just say it in German. Schnell. Mach schnell.
Oh, that's way more effective.
And
hey guys, recording the end of a podcast here. I guess that takes us to the end of the show. Well, thanks for joining us here on How to Do That, episode number 2. Ryan Glanzer and Bart Kristoff here. And
yeah, it was a great show. Hope you keep listening.
And
after this show, maybe not. No,
yeah,
I'm kidding.
I'd like to get Julio Molise here to say just one quick word on the show before we sign off officially.
Howdy.
Julio, do you have one quick how-to question for us?
Let's have him answer one real quick.
I'll answer some. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Let me pick this one. Hold on.
I hope you're okay with me using your full name on the show, which I just did.
Julio, how do you get out of paying for a round at the bar?
Ooh. That's such a tough question, even though I just took a spot all this tequila downstairs.
Be the guy who's standing next to Julio.
That's not a bad point, Ryan. I would definitely stand next to the guy who's like, hey, round of shots, and then sneak your way in.
So you would sneak your way into a random group of people. Like someone was saying, hey, I'm buying a round of shots, and then you would just sneak up in there. You'd sidle in there and be like, "Oh, I'm cousin Julio."
Yeah, I don't know.
Grandma.
Why are you a grandma? Why are you grandma Sissy?
No, I'm Grandma Sissy's nephew.
Oh, Grandma Sissy's nephew.
Oh, Grandma Sissy? Huh? Who? Yeah, from the family reunion.
I thought you were calling yourself Grandma Sissy.
No.
I would definitely buy. If you called yourself Grandma Sissy, I would buy you a shot just because you said that.
And I would refer to, I'm grandma's nephew, which make her my aunt, which doesn't make any sense. So,
what a way to sign off.
And that's how we do it here on How to Do That, with a full pitcher of Coors Light each during the show.
We did good. I finished mine. You did not finish yours.
Well, no, I got caught up in drinking and talking and all this stuff. Anyway, we don't want to linger. Check us out next time.
And you
Thanks
have
for
to.
Listening.
And you have to. And you have to let it linger. All right.
howtodothat.co online, @howtodothatco on Twitter, and How to Do That on Facebook. Look us up, connect, let's talk, ask some questions, answer some questions. Love to hear from you. So long.
Bye.